Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah! Ah!
Ah! I never once said, nada da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are live right here on blogtalkradio.com. The number is 347-308-8701. It is Tuesday. It's April the 10th. It's 2012. Folks, let me be the first to say it, because a lot of people are going to speculate. A lot of people are going to speculate, but you know what? This one, I'm almost certain I've got covered. George Zimmerman's life is in danger. That is correct. The 28-year-old man who shot Trayvon Martin on February 26, his life is in danger. And sadly, ladies and gentlemen, his life is in danger probably by the hands of himself. I believe that George Zimmerman is in danger of harming himself, and I believe that is going to and could happen very soon. Why, do you ask? That, my friends, is very simple.
Now to Sanford, Florida, where today George Zimmerman's lawyers called a press conference to say they have no idea where their client is, so they're withdrawing as his lawyer. Then we later learned they were never really in touch with him face-to-face in the first place. The strange case of the death of Trayvon Martin got stranger today. Our coverage begins with NBC's Kerry Sanders.
George Zimmerman's legal team walked to the podium and then announced they're no longer his lawyers.
At this point, we're withdrawing as counsel. If he wants us to come back as counsel, he will contact us.
Two attorneys say they had never met their client, George Zimmerman, but they say they had an open line of communication with him via email, text, and phone. But on Sunday, the two say there was inexplicable silence. And it's been like that since. And contrary to their advice, they say Zimmerman reached out to the special prosecutor, Angela Corey.
One of the things every defense attorney tells his client is, don't talk to the prosecutors, don't talk to the cops, frankly, don't talk to anybody.
The day they lost contact with Zimmerman, Sunday, is the same day the Internet Registry shows George Zimmerman set up this website. While his lawyers say they thought he was exercising his right to remain silent, he found a way to speak out. On his welcome page, Zimmerman writes in part, I was involved in a life-altering event, which led me to become a subject of media coverage. I've been forced to leave my home, my school, my employer, my family, and ultimately, my entire life. And there's a link to donate. Funzie says that are only for living expenses and legal defense.
Our concern is that for him to do this, when he's got a couple of professionals out there working as hard as we were for his benefit, to handle it this way suggests that he may not be in complete control of what's going on. We're concerned for his emotional and physical safety.
Trayvon Martin's family.
It takes a lot of patience when dealing with this.
And their lawyers tell NBC News they're stunned and fear George Zimmerman could be a flight risk if the special prosecutor chooses to bring charges.
will he ever be brought to justice if and when he is charged for killing their son? Those are some very serious questions.
As for George Zimmerman's whereabouts, his former lawyers say they believe in that he's in hiding and no longer in the state of Florida. They say they continue to believe in him and stand at the ready because if they want representation, they say they're ready to represent him again. Brian?
Kerry Sanders, thanks. And our chief legal correspondent, Savannah Guthrie, joins us here in the studio. We've all seen too many cop shows, but we've seen those scenes where they're told to stay close, don't make any travel plans. You're a lawyer. How common is it to lose your client?
This is not common. There's nothing ordinary about what we saw happen today. These lawyers couldn't get their client on the phone, but the state prosecutor could. It's incredibly odd. It was odd, frankly, that the lawyers came out and gave this public press conference announcing that they would no longer represent George Zimmerman. What a simple paper statement would have sufficed. Instead, we learned that he's not living in Florida. We learned that he's doing things that are quite unorthodox, suggesting his mental state may be an issue. And you wonder if the end result may be a prosecutor who's looking at this and saying, wait a minute, should I bring charges more quickly because he may be a flight risk or he may be a danger to himself? It was a very, very odd development today.
All right, Savannah, thank you for being with us.
Folks, I have to be completely honest with you. George Zimmerman's mental state at this point is dire. Where can he go? What could he do? Forget about media scrutiny. This man has the scrutiny of an entire nation and abroad. The irresponsibility of the press, the irresponsibility of people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the NAACP, and of course the Black Panther Party, who we've had as guests on this show. They have pretty much put a target on George Zimmerman's back, and in some cases his head. His life has been ultimately destroyed. And the news media can't help but say that the man is guilty. They just can't be impartial at this point. Who could? How could the man receive a fair trial at this point? It's been over a month. People may be calling for the justice of, you know, justice for Trayvon Martin, but they all know what it is that they consider justice. They're not hiding it. Injustice to them is his head on a platter. I believe that George Zimmerman may harm himself. I know what I'm talking about here. I know what I'm talking about here. When someone accuses you of a heinous crime, and you do everything it is within your power to try to defend yourself, and you're not allowed to speak, and you can't speak out, you can't speak up. Everyone's speaking for you. They can't hear your words. No one even wants to talk to you other than to question your veracity. And when you know that the bottom line is that they've already summed up the entire case. $10,000 bounties, people tweeting out your address, people marching in the streets, people calling you a racist. I know what this is like, ladies and gentlemen. I know exactly what this is like because it's happened to me. And as I've talked on this show often, about wanting to commit suicide because no one wants to believe you, that you're just better off dead. To end the misery that's living inside you day in and day out. Every day someone is talking about you. No one's defending you. What does one do in a situation like that? George Zimmerman is going to have to decide on what it is he's going to do. He called the prosecutor, for crying out loud. That is desperation. What he said to the special prosecutor, I don't know. No one seems to know. But not speaking to his lawyers, who are out there vigorously trying to clear his name, to walk away from them, to put that message out on his website about how he had to leave everything, his family, his friends, his employment, his school, and he's living in seclusion and he's alone. And no one knows where he is. The man is an island and living on an island by himself. Now, everybody could be screaming for justice all day, and I know there are some people out there, and I know you wicked son of a bitches. I know who you are. There are some of you out there saying, yeah, just off yourself. You'd feel better about that, wouldn't you? I know you'd feel better about it. If it were any one of your friends or your family members, you'd be screaming for that person to get due process. But because you're on the outside looking in, oh, you can just scrutinize people any way you want to. You can call them guilty and you don't even have to care. When the story turns out to be the other way around, oh, you just whisk it on. Yeah. You come up with excuses and you move on. And you wait for another person to convict. But a man's life has been destroyed. Yes, Trayvon Martin is dead. One 17-year-old boy's life is over. And there are people out there screaming for blood. But the people who are out there screaming for blood know nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada. And now a man's life is in danger. It is. And if it turns out afterwards that he did nothing wrong and that he did indeed fight for his life, will you even care? Should the man have to live in the conditions he's living in, or should he receive justice? Shouldn't he? Step outside of your bull. And when I say the words justice, that means all the evidence comes out and he gets a fair trial to prove his case. If he did nothing wrong, it's absolutely right that he get an opportunity to defend himself. But I'll tell you what George Zimmerman is dealing with. He sees no future. I'm telling you this from personal experience. He sees no future. He just sees today and every day before. He's seen the footage. He's seen the edited tapes. He's seen the tweets by people like Matt Gutman of ABC News. Killed the 17-year-old boy because he's black. He's seen the Al Sharptons. He's seen the CNNs. He's seen all of those people rallying to put him behind bars and to end his life forever. He's seen the bounty. He's seen the wanted dead or alive. He's heard the audio of people screaming for bloodshed in the streets. The man not only feels responsible for what it is that he's done, but now he's feeling responsible that he's put others' lives in danger. And if there's any truth that this man was an activist for justice, and now he may be the genesis of violence that might ring out into the streets, what do you think he's feeling? If you believe he has any conscience whatsoever. And reports prove that he does. The weight of the world is on his shoulders. I'm not speaking for him. I'm just telling you I know. Nothing is worse in the world than not being believed. And I'm not talking about your girlfriend doesn't believe you cheated on her, or your boss doesn't believe that you're slacking on the job, or you stole some office supplies, or that you're pulled over for speeding. He killed the guy, killed the kid. He took someone's life. The emotions that are running through his head, you couldn't fathom. If you believe the man has a conscience, he's a human being. And he deserves due process. He does not deserve the villainy, the scrutiny, the vitriol. The obsessed behavior of people with an agenda. He doesn't deserve that. He deserves his day in court. Or in this case, maybe not. George Zimmerman's life could end in days. Ladies and gentlemen, mark my words, it could. I wouldn't be shocked. JC, I know you want to jump in here.
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, they're marching in the streets of the Caribbean. They're marching in the streets of other countries. Where can he go?
How could the man live? How can he live with himself? He feels as though the world hates his guts, man. Do you know what that's like?
I can imagine. It's like he's living in the Matrix.
Exactly. Anywhere he goes, man, he probably can't even go outside.
When you have all of the news stations basically paint you as a racist.
Right. Where
in this particular situation.
Where could he possibly hide? Where could he possibly hide?
Intentionally at that.
Yeah, exactly. But where could he hide? Where could he go? He can go nowhere. Oh, my God. And in this world of multimedia, cell phones, video cameras, iPhones, Android phones, the man goes out to get a bite to eat someplace, maybe goes to a Chinese restaurant to go grab a bite. Somebody looks up and is like, yo, dude, ain't you that George Zimmerman, dude?
And everyone that looks just like him.
That's right.
Now that he's completely out of the picture.
That's right. The world is on the lookout for you. You're living in a virtual prison. Forget about virtual. It's an actual prison. Can't go
it's
through the window.
An actual prison, but you know what? I kind of likewise lay the blame on Sanford PD as well.
How so?
And the way that they've handled it from the beginning. And in a way, I kind of can't say that either because they're still tight-lipped about, you know, how everything was handled.
Yeah, but
we're finding out later bits and pieces that kind of leans in this guy's direction.
Yeah, but I look at that, JC, and this is going to be a horrible comparison, but it's the best analogy I can give. I would say it would be Osama bin Laden versus Al-Qaeda. See, Al-Qaeda is a group, but Osama bin Laden is a figure of Al-Qaeda.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's like when Osama bin Laden was killed, was shot and killed, the people screamed and cheered in the streets. But Al-Qaeda still exists, and their mission is still to kill Americans. We didn't win anything. It wasn't over. it was just like, you know, it's sort of like saying in a football game, it's like taking out the quarterback. But you still got a defense to beat.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? It was like, oh, we may have slowed down their offense, but the offense still has to go out there and try to beat you. We just slowed them down because we took out probably what was the most successful. You know, it's like when Tom Brady got injured a couple of years back. You know, the Patriots still went 10-6. You know what I mean? With
right.
Matt Castle. You know what I mean? It didn't mean that the Patriots were out of it. Everybody said, oh, he's out of it. Oh, how could the Patriots win? Patriots went 10-6. So it's like, you know, nobody knew who Matt Castle was, but Matt Castle had to get up there and lead that team. So in this case, it's the same thing. Like, you know, George Zimmerman is right now the figurehead of what everybody's calling the bigger problem. And, you know, just like I said, if this man takes his own life, which I'm telling you, I'm really going there, man. It's a 3-1 shot that he may harm himself.
I've kind of felt that way for a couple of days, actually.
It's a 3-1 shot that he will harm himself because every racial or racially motivated group out there has made him the figurehead of racism in this country. And how do you feel when you know you feel in your heart you didn't do that? Well, that's not what the case was. You feel as though everybody out there hates you and they want you dead, and you can't defend yourself. People are telling you to shut up. Don't talk to anybody.
You know what's unfortunate? What's unfortunate that this case is already going on three months old. Yeah, 3 months old.
No, it's only 2 months.
Well,
it's the end of February. February 26th. Yeah, it's only been a little over. Yeah, it's only like 40-something days now.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, still 40-something days. And it still trumps what's happened out in Oklahoma.
It's trumped everything. Exactly. The Tulsa shooting means nothing.
Nothing. Not a zilch.
Because everyone has hitched their wagon to this story. And now they're so caught out there in what it is that could happen. The civil unrest that could happen. They've got no choice. Now everybody's trying to play that I'm a responsible role. I'm telling you, 3-1 shot, this man harms himself. I see it. I feel it in my bones. That's what's going to happen. I feel it in my bones. How could he not? How could he not be feeling that way? How could he not be feeling that kind of despair?
To be honest, had I been in that situation, I think I'd be gone.
Yeah, I would be too. Do me a favor, JC. Let's see if we can get Khalid Muhammad from the new Black Panther Party on the phone. Do you still have that number? Do you still have that number?
Yeah, I do.
All right. See if we can get him on the horn, and we'll ask him. We'll get his view on that. And we'll prove my point. I'll put an amount of money on it. We'll talk to the new Black Panther Party, and I bet you they'd be excited. They'd be exacerbated if he were to kill himself or harm himself in some way. I feel it deep down in my bones, folks. I don't know why, but this is one of those things where you want to be wrong about, but I feel it. We'll take a break. It's Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in
the new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message. If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Reese.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I L-O-V-E-I.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio. We're back. Here on blogtalkradio.com. Don't forget to check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com and follow us on Facebook at Reese on the Radio. So we tried to get in touch with somebody from the new Black Panther Party. They're not speaking to anybody. They don't want to converse and talk with anybody about the Trayvon Martin case. So they've appeared to back off. And you know, I got to ask the question, you know, what would you do?
Well, I think his mother described it perfectly. She said it's a character assassination. We're seeing a lot of facts unveiled each day. As each day goes by, we learn more and more about not only this character assassination and the leaks, but what happened the night of his death. We're learning, just as you opened this program with, that the lead investigator said that this Zimmerman should be charged with manslaughter, and it was overturned literally by the state's attorney. When we first heard about this case, we didn't know that. An investigation must go on. The Justice Department must be on the ground. They've got to be involved with this. There are too many unanswered questions, and I really personally believe this is a hate crime. Congressman Martin?
He was executed for WWB in a GC, walking while black in a gated community.
Mr. Speaker, this is Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin's murderer is still at large. It's been 1 month, 30 days with no arrest. I want America to see this sweet young boy who was hunted down like a dog, shot in the street, and his killer is still at large. Not one person has been arrested in Trayvon's murder. I want to make sure that America knows that in Sanford, Florida, there was a young boy murdered. He is buried in Miami, Florida, and not one person has been arrested, even though we all know who the murderer is.
He went to the store for his brother. He came back and lost his life. Trayvon could have been any one of our sons. Trayvon could have been any one of us. Trayvon represents a reckless disregard for our lives that we've seen too long. And we come to tell you tonight, enough is enough. We are tired of going to jail for nothing and others going home for something. Zimmerman should have been arrested that night. Zimmerman had probable cause that night. You cannot defend yourself against a pack of Skittles and iced tea. Don't talk to us like we stupid. Don't talk to us like we ignorant. We love our children like you love yours. Lock them up.
Brand new video tonight. This one in the Trayvon Martin case. ABC's Matt Gutman obtained pictures today of the man in the center of the spotlight, in the center of the argument and debate, the man who allegedly killed Martin while patrolling the neighborhood.
In exclusive video obtained by ABC News tonight, you can see George Zimmerman in handcuffs walking into the Sanford Police Department to be questioned. This is the first time we've seen him the night of the shooting. You see him here being frisked. He is wearing that red fleece jacket described by eyewitnesses the night he shot Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman claims it was self-defense, that Martin attacked him, punching him and slamming his head on the ground. But take a closer look at this video. We slow it down. No visible blood on his head or his nose or his clothes. We know.
Latest on the Trayvon Martin shooting, that police surveillance video has raised all kinds of questions about exactly what happened the night he was killed by George Zimmerman. And now Zimmerman's brother is speaking out for the first time with his account. ABC's Matt Gutman has the story from Sanford, Florida.
For the first time, George Zimmerman's brother is speaking out about this surveillance video, first obtained by ABC News, showing the Neighborhood Watch volunteer cuffed inside the police department roughly 30 minutes after shooting Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman's brother, Robert, appearing on CNN's Piers Morgan Tonight, says he believes the video shows visible signs of injury.
We're confident the medical records are going to explain all of George's medical history. His nose looks swollen in that video, and a lot of these injuries take time, 24 to 26 hours, to show the bruising.
Zimmerman told police Martin punched him, pushing his head on the concrete. The police report notes blood on his head and nose, and that he was treated at the scene.
He was barely conscious. His last thing he remembers doing was moving his head from the concrete to the grass so that if he was banged one more time, he wouldn't be, you know, wearing diapers for the rest of his life and being spoon-fed by his brother.
In this police video, you see an officer examining the back of Zimmerman's head. Seconds later, zoom in. Some wonder, is this a gash on his head? Yet there are no bandages, no blood. And here, as he walks...
Now to an ABC News exclusive in the Trayvon Martin shooting case. We were the first to show you this surveillance video of George Zimmerman arriving at police headquarters the night of the shooting, seemingly uninjured despite claiming that he'd been in a life or death struggle. Well, this morning, you're about to see a new version of that same tape. ABC's Matt Gutman joins us now to show us what that reveals. And Matt, good morning to you.
All of it wrong, ladies and gentlemen. All of it wrong. No matter what it is that they did, no matter what it is that they said, they condemned the man. They condemned him. I'm just playing you part of the audio. You wouldn't be in a position where you feel as though this man may harm himself. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to live? Where's he going to stay? He can never leave his house. What do you think? All of this is going to blow over? It's national, international media. What do you think? He'll have to stay in his house for years until this is all blown over. I'm telling you, I know what it's like. And it takes a very strong constitution to fight for your life. Again, as I said in the beginning of the show, I've been there. I know what it's like when no one believes you. No matter how much you proclaim your innocence, they won't even print the stories to help you prove your innocence. But when they've all pretty much condemned you, how could you feel like anything other than dying? Because a part of you dies inside. A huge part of you dies inside. And I know what that's like. And I know that George Zimmerman is going through this. I know he's going through this. How could he not? How could he not be going through this?
But you can't say that you know for sure that he is going
through this. Oh, come on. And there's no, come on. How could he not?
But you can't say that.
How could he not be?
You're trying to state a fact when you don't know.
Listen, Just tell me. If you had to guess based upon my summation that 3-1, I've already said it, 3-1, 3-1 odds, 3-1 odds that George Zimmerman is not in the mental state that you could predict that he would not do harm to himself. I'm saying 3-1, he's contemplating it.
I don't know that.
I'm just asking you. I'm asking you to speculate.
I can't speculate because I don't know. I don't know George Zimmerman. I don't know.
Okay, but I'm just saying we're talking about your average human being. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he's an average human being.
Your average human being doesn't go around shooting and killing people either.
I'm willing to guess that that's pretty much what... Has he shot and killed anybody else before? Is he some random shooter?
No, not to my knowledge.
This is the first time he's ever taken someone's life. And he's being completely... not just scrutinized, but he's being convicted on national
television. Well, and I don't believe that he should be convicted on national TV. It's not for us. It's
okay,
for
and with all of that being said, in hiding, a bounty on his head, you have people pretty much villainizing him. They're altering 911 tapes to make him appear racist. They've done everything. His father can't even show his face. He had to leave his job, leave his family, leave his friends, and go into hiding. And you're going to sit there and tell me that you don't think that this man is contemplating?
I didn't say I don't think. I said I don't know.
Then I'm giving you, I'm asking you, scale of 1 to 10, based upon all it is that you know that has happened within the media and this man's name.
If he's a decent human being, if, which I don't know.
He doesn't believe he'll get a fair trial. How could he? He's never had to deal with this before.
Circumstance is what it's sad, but it is what it is.
I mean, I understand that, but with all of that.
At least he's still living and breathing.
But with all of that, what do you think? The average human being, what do you think? He's now fired his attorneys. He's gone into hiding. He's not returning their phone calls. He's by himself, alone.
He hasn't fired his attorneys. He's just not responding to them. And then
they've already
so,
well, they're gone now. They're not supporting. They're not
supporting him because he didn't. He
well, not that they're not supporting him. That's an unfair use.
Well,
of the
they
word.
They wished him well, according to the story
right,
that I read
exactly.
on Drudge Report.
Right.
They wished him well.
Right, but they're no longer his legal team.
But they're no longer.
But he's still
his legal
by himself.
Team. How do you know that? How do you know he hasn't procured another legal team?
How about mental health?
Maybe he's getting mental help. We don't know.
So let's assume he's getting
mental help. What does anybody know? Nobody knows anything.
So let's say he's getting mental help. Are you telling me that he's not contemplating harming himself? That doesn't seem reasonable to you?
That's on him, but this is what I say.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking.
What I say is
that doesn't appear reasonable?
I'm not saying that it does. All I'm saying is that you said you know for a fact. You don't know for a fact.
I'm certain. I'm telling you, I know this for a fact.
You don't.
I do. I do.
You can't say
I
that's
am
a
willing,
fact because you
I'm,
don't know what is going on.
Well, everybody else has made. Everybody else is pretty much just giving their opinion on what it is that George Zimmerman did.
Opinions are not facts. Though.
So I'm saying that I'm telling you right off the bat, because having gone through it, when nobody believes you, when you are trying to tell people that you didn't commit a crime, and the world is out there calling you something that you're not, and you don't have the right support system, and you are completely in hiding and scared to go outside because you believe somebody's going to do you some harm. You're afraid to even walk to the store. You're not telling me that that man's not thinking about harming himself?
I'm not saying what he's thinking because I don't know.
I think you're choosing not to decide on this one.
I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know. I have no clue.
Does it seem reasonable for him to think that?
But this is what I am saying. A situation occurred, a very unfortunate situation, and as unfortunate as the results of this even more unfortunate results of the already unfortunate situation, he needs to come forward. He needs to turn himself in. He needs to do something because now, at this point, it's not just a public safety issue for George Zimmerman, but he is putting the rest of the American public at risk of something horrific happening.
Again, also said that.
And all other white people and black people and, you know, everybody in this whole country. It's
also
ridiculous.
Weighing on his conscience. That's
well, weighing on his conscience. Man up, homeboy, and come into the Sanford Police Department.
To do what?
You were involved in this, not everyone else.
Wasn't charged. Why would he go into the Sanford Police Department and he wasn't charged?
Well, why are you staying in hiding?
Anywhere he goes, do you understand what's going to happen to him? Try this on for size, and let's take into consideration what you just said. Turn yourself over to the Sanford Police Department. Let us protect you. Where are they going to put him? They're going to put him in a jail cell, in solitary confinement. You don't think that he's in more danger of harming himself there? Now he's in a jail cell.
Yeah, but at this point, he's harming the rest of the country.
He's not responsible for what everybody else has done in this case.
No, you know what? He's not immediately responsible, but
what?
In a way... Listen, the rest
of the
country...
How is he inadvertently responsible for everybody else? Explain to me how he's inadvertently
responsible.
Because
everybody else's reactions are
their own responsibility.
Yes, it is their own responsibility, but it is something that these reactions,
the reactions are based on his actions, period.
By his actions, and that's the bottom line. Whether wrong, right, or indifferent, the truth is the truth. That's the bottom line.
You're going right back into the point that I made earlier, and that is this. Is that George Zimmerman feels as though the weight of the world is on his head. I know it. I'm telling you right now. If he is in any way innocent in this case, and we don't know whether or not he's innocent or guilty, but what he's feeling in his mind is, Now people's lives are in danger. Strangers.
Wait a minute.
People
we've
never
met.
Let me finish.
Wait a minute. What if he is guilty?
I don't know whether he's guilty.
What if he is guilty? If he is guilty of committing a hate crime, well, which, I mean, is so ridiculous to me in the first place. Anyway, a crime is a crime. I don't care what color
okay.
you are, what you
right,
say,
right,
anybody.
Right.
I can call you anything
okay.
and kill you, but what I called you
okay.
was worse than me putting a bullet in your
he's
head?
He's innocent until proven guilty. That's
okay.
the reason why I say I'm not calling him guilty, because he's innocent until proven
but
guilty.
But if he is guilty, and he did do this out of heinously, then you think he's sitting around thinking, if he's guilty... And if it is as heinous as everyone says it is, which no one knows, he's probably not sitting around like,
so you want to look at the other side, like he's sitting around and not caring about what damage has been done?
Why can't we look at the other side?
Fine, we'll look at the other side. So you're saying that he's gotten rid of his lawyers, he's asking people to help him in donating, he's left, he's run off, he's in hiding.
Now, this is something that really bothers me, and I'm glad that you brought it up.
Okay.
This joker is on Facebook or wherever asking people to help him pay for his... Are you out of your freaking mind, homeboy? I'm not helping you with nothing. You put yourself in that situation, not me. You did it.
How did he not win?
And now the situation that you put yourself in is putting myself and everyone else in this country at risk. Are you crazy?
Whoa. How is he responsible for what other people do? How is
because his actions cause these reactions.
You really believe that George Zimmerman is responsible for the civil unrest happening in this country?
I believe that he is partially.
Wow.
At fault.
JC, I don't know if I. What can I say? You want to jump in here? Because I'm actually a little stunned.
JC?
I don't know if he's there. I don't think he's with us.
Because the guy...
JC, wait, start over, because we didn't hear a word you said.
Okay, I was saying... I think that a lot of the tension would be eased if he did come forward, although he didn't have anything. He's being charged with nothing. He hasn't been charged yet.
Right.
But knowing that he's in danger from the public... I think that everybody will feel better knowing that he is in police custody or even being protected by the police and I don't know, what would you call it, I don't want to say witness protection because he's not a witness, but potential, just protection period. Ask for protection, and if everyone knew where he was, I think that a lot of the civil unrest would die some. I mean, folks are already getting tired of it. But as long as you have those like Sharpton, Jackson seemed to have backed off a little bit that I've seen, and those from the Black Panther Party,
mm-hmm.
stirring up the hornet's nest. It's going to continue. And luckily, not a whole lot of people are paying attention to them, because a lot of it has died down. It's still a hot button issue in the country, but it's not. It doesn't feel as feverish as it once did.
Let's say
2-3 weeks ago.
And JC, if George Zimmerman was the self-proclaimed,
that's the problem. That's a problem too.
Self-proclaimed neighborhood.
He's self-appointed. Now he's asking for help.
Self-appoint
yourself some help.
Exactly, and self-appoint yourself some cojones and come forward.
So
the thing is, there's no reason for him to come forward. He hasn't been charged.
Thank you.
He hasn't been charged with anything.
It's not like
he's on the lam and they're looking for him.
I'm sorry. Did that long conversation you have with Sean Qualley all of a sudden convert you into being a Black Panther for some odd reason, Mary?
No, not at all.
Because you sound just like them.
No, I don't. I'm not sitting here talking about cracker this and cracker that.
No, you're screaming, turn himself in. He's not charged with anything.
Come forward to the public. Let somebody know where you're at.
What?
I don't know. Something.
Well, that's just it. The public wants him dead.
That's what I
wouldn't turn myself into the public.
How are you not understanding that? The public wants him dead.
I would ask the police and FBI for protection.
I mean, he's a citizen. He has a right to protection.
In this country, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. Why can't you presume he's innocent?
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm not saying that he's innocent or guilty. I can't presume anything. All I know.
What?
All I know is that this country is in a racial unrest right now, and it's because of something that he did.
Oh.
Or something that transpired that he had taken part in.
So you're holding him responsible for the civil unrest that's happening within our country right now?
A portion of it, exactly.
Well, he has a percentage of it. I'm not sure exactly how much of a percentage,
I'm not getting it. I'm trying to figure out how he's the appointed blame.
I didn't blame him. I said a portion.
What the hell? That you're appointing partial blame to him?
Well, until all the facts come out and until they release him, based on what we know, and obviously we really can't trust the media, we'd have to go by what it is that we've seen so far. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one to call. The thing is, someone's dead, and there are a lot of unanswered questions.
And there's a lot of people
and until
that are unsafe.
Questions, and until there's answers for those questions, there's going to be
sacrifice.
Problems.
So
yep.
You believe sacrifice himself.
Yep, exactly. Because if it was me and the shoe was on the other foot, I would sacrifice myself because I do not, I would not.
Even if you didn't do anything wrong.
If I didn't do anything wrong, I wouldn't have went into hiding.
Yeah, you would have.
Are you kidding me? You wouldn't have.
Yeah, you would have.
So you'd have taken a bullet. You'd have gotten beaten in the street. You'd have been dragged
out of
your house.
Into hiding.
Your family in danger. You would have done that if you'd done nothing wrong. You just stand your ground and just say, I'm not going anywhere. I didn't do anything wrong. You put your family and your loved ones in danger because you know that you didn't do anything wrong, even though the news media and reporters and activists like the Al Sharptons and the Black Panther Party and the NAACP are out there calling for your head, you would sit up there and stand your ground and you put everybody you love in danger? You do that to your mother? You do that to your aunts? You do that to them? You would do
and
that.
And these careless-ass celebrities.
And these, exactly. Careless celebrities giving out your address? You'd stand your ground? You wouldn't be forced into hiding?
I wouldn't hide. That's just not how I'm built.
Okay. All right. You got more guts than I thought.
More guts than I do.
Damn sure got more guts than me.
Because of a brother, I'd be in Poland.
I would rather die for what I believe in and what I hold near and dear to my heart.
I could change my mind on some of my decisions very easily. Rather than die for them.
A lot of people in this country that have died for a lot of other stupid things.
This isn't
a lot of other bigger reasons.
There is no reason why the man should have to die.
I'm not saying he should have to die. It's a very unfortunate situation. But while he is in hiding and safe, there are other people out here getting shot and killed for no reason.
Boom. Who's getting shot and killed? There's been no shooting.
Them two white boys that shot all them black.
In
Tulsa,
Oklahoma, that young man, that John England, I know is his last name, he shot those people because of his father being shot and killed by a black man a year ago.
Or alleged.
This situation probably brought all that out.
Wait, Mary, how are you going to connect his own personal life to the George Zimmerman case? That man's father died at the hands of a black man, and he said that he was taken out.
Allegedly.
You're absolutely right. Actually, they've confessed, so I don't have to say allegedly. They've confessed to the crimes. And according to his Facebook account, he responded in shooting death or the killing of his own father by a black man.
Don't you find it funny that a year later,
It was the year anniversary of his father's death.
And it just so happens that our country is sitting in a racial unrest at the moment.
Yeah, it's a little worse.
And not only that, but I believe his girlfriend committed suicide as well. His girlfriend, his sister, or somebody.
It's a coincidence.
But it doesn't look coincidental to everyone else looking
in. Of course, if you go out there and you put it and you try to establish that what these young men did in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and equate it to the Trayvon Martin case as if the two are somehow linked. That's garbage.
Mary, I can't believe this one. I believe you bought into that narrative.
Yeah, of course.
Thought I'd never say that one.
I didn't buy into any narrative. Oh, listen. We all need to come together as one. I believe that wholeheartedly. I will never, ever kind of try to spew any type of racism or any of that, not from me. But if you look at everything that has happened, come on.
I don't want everybody to come together. I want civil unrest. I want them out there killing each other.
Why? Why?
Because I want them to see the maniacs they turned into. I want them to see the type of... I'm sorry. And you, people can disagree with me all they want. In 1992, when the Rodney King riots went out there and they burned down their own communities, I sat back and I laughed. I watched each and every one of you fool-ass Negroes kill each other. Because even when you thought that what they did to Rodney King was racial, even though this was a black man getting beat down by a bunch of white cops, you ran around killing each other. I want to see if you get it right this time. If you really, really believe that the white man is your oppressor, get it out there in the streets. Let's see what it is that you're really about. Or whether or not you're nothing more than a bunch of fool-ass Negroes waiting for another opportunity to steal a TV. That's the way I look at it. And it couldn't get more realer than that. I think y'all are just looking for another flat screen to steal.
You leave for a hurricane for that one.
That's a bunch of bull. I'm sick and tired of people talking about how they're so worried about someone. They'll never, ever cross Rodeo Drive. They'll never, ever cross those streets to go into those white people's neighborhoods. They're never going to do it. They're going to burn down their own poor, dilapidated communities, and then their community organizers and their councilmen and assemblymen will be begging the federal government for more money to build up a community that they've already ruined and have now destroyed. Black Panther Party is talking about unrest. The only violence we're going to see is them destroying their own, just like they've been doing for years.
And many of them don't live in a hood, and they won't. And they'll be in a hood tearing things up, but won't be in their yards.
Rappers like David Banner talking about we need to get our act together. Knock it off. It's a disgusting state of affairs. That's it. I'm moving on. We'll take a break. It'll be top of the hour.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb
s***, it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC
$1 million.
Sarah Palin.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb and sleeping by the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Week on the Radio right here on BlogTalkRadio.com. 1 minute after the hour on this Tuesday, April the 10th, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. I want to make sure I acknowledge Mr. Arthur Reed. I will be on his show on Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Or maybe it's 4. Sorry, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday.
No, it's 5 Central Standard Time, which is 4 Eastern Standard Time here.
Okay, yeah, maybe you're right. Okay, 5, yeah, 5, no, that would be wrong. They're an hour behind. So it's 5 Eastern Standard, it's 4 Central Standard.
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay, whatever. Anyway, 5 Eastern Standard Time, and 4... Nonetheless, I'll be on there. I'll give you all the information before the weekend. In fact, I'll give you all the information on Friday. I'll be on his show. His name is Silky Slim. I know I poked fun at him yesterday, but he called me today and asked me to be a part of his show. And he does a politics and cultural show down in New Orleans. So I'll be on his radio show down
New Orleans.
There. Yeah, in New Orleans. I'm going to give them a little bit of a fact check about the New Orleans area.
Oh, jeez.
You know me. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to start some fire.
You eat some crayfish while you're there?
No, I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm calling in, man. I'm not going down there. Damn place is a success.
Get your bowl of them here.
Only way I'm going down there is maybe if Jay Electronica is down there. Because these are Know Your Projects, as they say.
Crayfish.
Mary and I were having a conversation off the air, and so I love it when people finally explain to me what it is that what's the genesis of their frame of thought and why she was just so angered by this whole George Zimmerman case to the point where she's worried about other people responding to this in a violent way. So I asked her if she didn't mind talking about it. Because as a white woman,
contrary to Sean Qualley's
belief,
he assumed that I was black.
No, sister.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what? I am his sister. I'm his sister in every way,
yeah,
shape, and form.
Okay,
he is my brother in every way, shape, or form. But Mr. Qualley, you did assume that I was black. Because you profiled me because of the way that I spoke, the words that I used, and the sound of my voice. You assumed that I was black, and I'm not.
Well, yeah. I implore you to throw a chair around the room right now.
Yes, exactly.
Civil unrest.
So now that they know that you are indeed, as what they refer to as a honky, a cracker, or a pig, you are a white woman, and you said something off the air, and, you know, I hate to interview you, but... the bottom line is the reason why you were so charged about this.
Let me say something before you continue. Whether I was black or white, I would feel the same way.
Okay, regardless, but you're white. So it doesn't matter whether or not.
Well,
you...
I'm Mary, is who I am.
Oh, well, that's true, but nonetheless.
I just don't.
I understand that.
Mary Teresa.
Yeah, I understand
no,
that you don't.
No, my middle name is not Teresa.
I know you don't follow.
No.
Can I get a word in here?
Yeah, go
ahead. That you don't. I know you don't care about whether or not you're white or black, but you know how people view you. They see your skin color first. And so, I mean, you tell JC what it is that you said. You're scared.
No, I'm, you know, I said this on the air to Mr. Kweli last night, too, in case no one was listening. In the last few days, when I go, if I'm on my way to work, I did it tonight going into the grocery store. I watch how black and white people are dealing with each other, how they are interacting with one another. And I'm looking around to make sure that I'm safe, that nothing's about to jump off, that I'm not going into a situation where I'm going to put myself at risk. But at this point, because of our skin color, black or white, we're all at risk at this point, in my eyes. And if we're not at a major risk, if this crap continues, we will all be at a major risk. So am I fearful for my life because of my skin color at this point in time? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And you know what? Can I tell you something, Mary?
And that's sad because I am Mary Angela before I am anything. I don't view people like that. I've never viewed people like that. I wasn't raised to view people like that. If anybody ever tried to shoot that rhetoric in my ear, I would immediately stop them. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. We are all human. None of us, nobody's different. You have struggles just like I have struggles. And our struggles may be different or they may be the same.
Yeah, Mary.
But that doesn't make you any better or me any better or me any worse or you any worse because of the color of my skin, because of how I was biologically made. God made me like this, and God made you and Reese and everyone else. God made us the way we are. Go ahead.
Okay, now, two things. When I said Mary Teresa, I'm speaking in terms of the Mother Teresa and the love and peace thing that you want. I know that's not your middle name. And secondly, I'm afraid too. I don't want this. I don't want no civil, especially amongst the races. You forget, I have two kids that are mixed. Hmm. I have in-laws that I still, that well, no longer my in-laws, but they're people that I still happen to love.
I mean, I don't want to see innocent people's lives taken, but not because people can't look past the color, the outer shell that you carry. This is a suit that we are in. That's all. We're all in a suit because underneath the suit, we're all the same.
Listen, I'm gonna hunker down with the Puerto Ricans.
You stupid.
Right where I am.
Y'all español. Yo no soy una gringa. Soy una hispana.
Necesito ayuda para los gastos de delincuentes en la casa de acción.
Exactamente, señor.
Hey, we ain't on Telemundo.
And
we weren't cursing.
And for those of you that didn't comprende, that don't speak of the Espanol, what I said was, I ain't white, I'm Hispanic. I speak Spanish, I can speak, read it, and write it.
And why I asked her, for those of you who weren't listening, I asked her, do she need help paying her gas heating bill?
I need any help you can give me.
Listen to me. Folks, I got to say this. You know, and we've not dealt with this, but I got to be 100% honest with you. I understand, Mary, that you're scared. And I can understand that fear. I think in this day and age, with the way that certain people behave, you could be in danger. You could be in danger of somebody doing something or... being retaliating over something they know nothing about. You know what I mean? It's like none of those people know Trayvon. They don't know their family, but they feel some sort of personal connection and all of a sudden decide, oh, they want to take it out on somebody who's white because they've got their own little built-up animus about that. But
Or in the same breath, I could be out with you or be out with any one of my any one of my African American friends or anybody, and I could be, you know, white people have been racist towards me because I choose to date black men. I've had white people and black people be racist towards me. So it doesn't even necessarily have to be about me. It could be about you. I could be with you, and they could be like, oh, look at her with this black, which of course they wouldn't use the word black man if they're talking about if they're racist. But, you know, it could be anything. And it just...
Do you think a white person would approach me if I was with you? Do you think that would happen?
If there was a massive racial unrest, most definitely.
I'm talking about this point right now.
I can't speak for what anybody would do.
But, okay, who do you think is more likely to say something that would be racially charged? A black group if you and I were walking down the street together, or a white group?
I can't say because, like I said, I've seen racism on both sides.
The niggas.
No, I can't.
Yes, it would be
well,
the
that's
niggas.
That's your opinion.
That's
but
not
I
an opinion. How many reports have
I've
you seen?
I've had many.
How?
I've had many of white people, just like I've had many of black people. I've had many of black people, black women. Oh, look, she done took another one of our good men. Rah, rah, rah.
And
rah,
what
rah,
have white
rah,
women
rah.
Said to you?
And white women are like, ooh, why do you only date black guys?
Yeah, see, why you only date black guys, black women, white women wouldn't be sitting up there talking about, hey, she's just leaving more white guys for us. Only a black woman would say, you taking one of ours. They're the only ones who deal in the level of tribalism. And when I say the niggas, I do mean exactly the word the niggas.
But
ignorant niggas.
Down south, I've had white people tell me, oh, you know, that's disgusting. You should stay with your own kind.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Blah, blah, blah,
we've
blah,
seen
blah.
That.
And
oh, we heard the old lady on the audio a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. A couple of weeks ago, we played it from What Would You Do on ABC. She said they should stay with their own kind. I don't mean any animosity towards them, and I just think that they should stay with their own. But black people, on the other hand, they don't feel that way. Black people have a physical and personal animus towards anybody who is outside their race. And if you would think
I know,
that
I've caught hell for years.
Come on.
Like not all white people are that
listen,
way.
I've been
no.
called a sellout for many years.
Listen, there was a time when you would be caught a black guy with a white girl, and they would grab a black guy and lynch him. It's unheard of today. It's more common for black people to take out their animus physically on somebody because of their race. You see that more today than anything else. But I understand that you're fearful. I don't blame you for that. Because you know, and I'm sorry to say it, and I know you don't admit it, but I know why you feel that way. Because you know the person or the group that's going to be more aggressive is going to be black people towards you because of your skin, as opposed to if it were the other way around. Because if a white person steps to me, the first thing that they're trying to see is what type of person I am. If I come in and I'm jovial and I'm, you know, hey, what's up, guys? Hey, what are you talking about? And have a great conversation. Hey, you watch the game and you're talking all that stuff. Guys would say, oh, man, you're a cool dude for a black guy. Where on the black person would, wait. I don't care if it's ignorant. You're absolutely right it's ignorant. But what's the likelihood that you'll get that sort of response from a group of black people who have automatically judged you because you're white and believe that
I get a lot of black people. A lot of black people tell me, all the time. And it's like, really? Are you really saying this to me? Or are we having this conversation? You ain't really white. You black.
Words versus deeds. What I'm talking to you about is words versus deeds. Who do you think is going to be more physical with you based upon your skin color? Whites or blacks? Just tell me where you see.
I won't answer that.
Of course you won't answer
it. No,
most people aren't willing enough to admit it. JC, come on, man. Am I lying here? Who's more than likely to attack you because you're the opposite of their skin? Blacks attacking whites or whites attacking blacks for the color of their skin today?
You're right. I guess in areas where I've grown up at, in areas where I frequent, that is more likely to happen.
Come on,
and
man.
Mostly in urban areas.
They kill each other if you look at their girl. They kill each other if you step on their sneaker. They kill each other if you bump into them at the club and don't say excuse me.
But that happens in white.
No, it
communities.
Doesn't happen in white communities.
It does happen.
Two white guys will bump it out with their hands first. Two white boys are quicker to get into a barroom brawl than a black guy is willing to shoot you for looking at his girl the wrong way or asking your girl for her phone number. The guy want to shoot you dead behind
that. I think that it all depends on the state of your mind. It all depends on the state of your situation. It all depends on the state of your social
the environment and your surroundings.
I don't mind you being politically correct about this, Mary.
But it's the truth. I've been in white suburban neighborhoods, especially in the South. For whatever reason it is, I don't know what it is, but in the South, there's so many white suburban neighborhoods where these white kids grow up and they want to be a part of something, so they join a gang. Like, you know, in Alabama, it's the Folks and the Crips and the Bloods and the this and the that. And you'll probably find more suburban white kids that are out doing stuff just so they can be a part of the crowd and just be, and they'll shoot somebody and take their life.
Yeah.
Or they'll rob your grandmother.
Yeah.
Or they'll do whatever just.
Great.
So they can say, hey, I'm tough.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let's take the two races, white versus black. Who do you see more people trying to be like? Do you see more black people trying to be white or more white people trying to be black? In every aspect, skin pigmentation, the way they dress, the music they listen to, their dance, their manner of speaking. Or do you see more black people trying to be white, more suburban, more mainstream? You don't see it the other way around. Because if you are black and you are trying to be white, you are ostracized. But if you are white and you're trying to be black, you're considered hip and cool. So when I say that there is a clear contrast in the way that people behave versus black versus white, okay? I understand that, but there's more of an animus towards anything white in the black community than it is for blacks towards whites. I mean, whites towards blacks. That's what I'm saying. See, a white person can get a tan.
I think that that's because maybe there's more black people that will come out and say how they feel, and versus white people will keep it inside and only talk about that amongst themselves.
It is a cultural divide. You got, if in any community, when you're Asian, people from China who come to America, Chinese people want no part of their Asian family members if they become too Easternized, or Westernized, I should say, become too Westernized. There were Chinese girls who come to America and they have plastic surgery to round out their eyes. And the people in China, they completely ostracize them. You want to be like them. No one ever stops anybody when they want to learn karate or want to learn judo. Don't you find it odd that you can't? George Lucas said it best, and I thought about this last night. George Lucas can't get a movie, that movie Red Tails, made because the Hollywood studios said that they can't sell black heroes to overseas countries like China, where there's over 1 billion people. But yet every Negro likes karate flicks. So come on, man. I mean, I couldn't put it any plainer than that. It's that simple. Everybody, no one ever wants to be considered whiter. I get it every day, the way that I talk, the way that I behave. I get more ostracized for that. I get told that I'm not black enough. You'll never ever hear somebody tell a white person they're not white enough.
What the hell does any of that mean anyway?
What I'm saying to you is that what you were talking about,
is,
your fear.
What I'm saying about
your fear is that if you have a fear, it ain't towards white people. Your fear is not about what white people will do. It's about what black people will do, because you know deep down, whether you want to admit it or not, the truth is that you got more of a fear about black people behaving in a violent way towards you because of your skin color. If you were black, you wouldn't worry about it as much. Because I'm sorry, I'm black. And I'm still more worried about another Negro looking at me the wrong way.
And I respect you for your opinion, but that's not mine.
The facts speak louder than words, Mary. The facts speak louder than words.
That's not my opinion. And you can have your opinion. We all agree to disagree. I'm worried about whites and blacks together, or everybody.
Trust me, you're never ever going to be in a crossfire.
Because if white people start acting a damn fool, that's going to cause black people to start acting a fool.
I put any amount of money on it, and I'll be the first one to say that if white people get into a race war, it'll be reactive, not proactive. They will not be the people who start that war. Any amount of money on it. They will not be the ones who start that war, especially over this George Zimmerman case. because the rest of them will be standing around talking about, what are you going up against me for? I got nothing to do with this. There are black people running through the streets screaming out about white people being being unjustified towards black people. There are black people screaming for an uprising. White people aren't sitting around going, yeah, Negro, you get out of line, we're going to kill you. Nobody said it.
They might not have said it, but I can guarantee you that they're
only going to respond. If there's going to be a torch lit, I promise you it'll be in the black community first. And I'm not afraid to say it. I don't give a damn which one of you Negroes don't like it. You're the ones out there screaming racism from a Peruvian. For a Peruvian. You needed an excuse for this. That's the bottom line. You needed an excuse.
The bottom line is a child lost their life.
And what? And what? A six-year-old girl lost her life sitting in her own little yard from another fool-ass Negro selling drugs in a gang war. I'm more concerned about her.
I'm concerned about anybody that loses their life.
I'm concerned about my baby brother and sister who had to pull shrapnel out of their shoulders back in the 90s when they were going to the grocery store and somebody wanted to do the drive-by shooting in Bayonne, New Jersey. I'm more concerned about that. And I put an amount of money on it. It wasn't some guy named Skip. It was some Raheem or Trayvon. I put an amount of money on it.
But a guy named Skip, as you want to use as a white name, blew up that whole building in Oklahoma.
What? You are really not trying to bring up Timothy McVeigh. Do you know what Timothy McVeigh was responding to? He was responding to David Koresh and Waco. And nothing to do with racial animus.
I didn't say it had anything to do with racial animus. But everybody is equally violent from every race group. I mean, you're talking about a drive-by. I'm sure that probably wasn't a racist thing, right?
Sure it was. They don't like their own kind. That's racist in my book. You don't even want to protect your own race? That's racist to me.
We should all be protecting one another. It shouldn't be about a race.
I don't believe you. I know it sounds all good, but that's not the state of the world.
But the state of the world needs
your
to
own
be that
president
way.
Is your own president is telling us that we're all
different.
Oh, he's
a freaking moron anyway.
Well,
everybody knows how I
the
feel about
the entire Democratic
Obama.
Party says that, you know, there's a war on women, war on blacks, war on the poor. We're all separate. It doesn't even come from our own leaders that we're all alike, that we're all the same.
When he first ran, he came from him that we were all alike.
Well, we all know that was bull. They should have believed it then. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack? What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in
the new chicken snack wraps.
Tortilla.
Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio. Last half hour. I have to go. I think I got you a little heated today.
The whole situation has got me heated. I mean, I don't... I'm sorry. I'm sitting here watching Hannity and I'm listening to these people at the same... It's just... The whole thing is a hot mess. It's a hot mess. There's no reason why any of this needs to be going on. There was no reason why this boy needed to lose his life. There was no reason... why somebody needed to be chasing somebody down if that's what Georgia was doing, whatever. Again, this doesn't need to be a racial issue. This needs to be just an issue that this presumably young man, presumably innocent young man, lost his life in cold blood. That's what it's about. It's about life. It's not about color.
Okay.
Well, we're beyond that now. And there's no way to reverse that.
Speaking of color, Don Lemon from CNN was on TV yesterday, and he was having a conversation with some people on his show, some guests on his show. And Don Lemon, who is black, said that he didn't mind so much about the use of the N-word when a reporter was giving a story where the N-word was used. In essence, saying that let's stop using saying nigger on the airwaves. Should it be allowed? Now, Whoopi Goldberg on The View today, and I'm seeing a report on Drudge Report that she was bleeped out saying the word nigger on the air, but it was a conversation where she was saying that it should be allowed. Barbara Walters also suggested that if the story is in the context of where nigger is being used, then the reporter should use it be black or white. What are your views, Mary?
Listen, I mean, I'm all for freedom of speech. Say whatever it is that you want to say. But just remember that what you say, the way that you say, what you say, regardless of the way that you say it or how, what context you use it in or any of that, is most likely going to be misconstrued. And that's with anything that you say. You can be having a regular, normal conversation with somebody, and if you use a certain type of body movement or you roll your eyes or you do something that gives a negative connotation to it, it's going to be received that way. So you should probably try to be, especially when you're talking to the public, you should probably try to be as politically correct as possible. I believe in freedom of speech, and we should all be allowed to say whatever it is that we want to say. But when you start getting into
reporting. If I'm reporting that someone...
Well, I think that it was really stupid for that white woman to get on TV and say the freaking N-word. I mean, how... You're a freaking moron. Are you stupid? I wouldn't get on TV. I use the word. I don't use the word in a derogatory manner, but I use the word.
You do.
I do. I use it, and I've used it, and some people have been offended by it, and I apologize for offending anybody, because that was definitely not my intention. I use it with certain people, not with certain white people. I use it with black people, because that's just the relationship we have. It's not a racist thing. It's become such a common thing that, you know, it can't be wrong for me to use it because the color of my skin. I mean, people on the radio and on TV and everywhere and rap videos and whatever else using the damn word all the time. Just like if you want to call me, and people call me a cracker. So what? I'm a cracker. I'm a saltine cracker, and you are wheat thin. So what? Big deal.
So you're saying that as long as it's within the context, if you were reporting on a story that someone used the word nigger, it should be reported.
I would not have gotten on national TV at a time like this, at any time probably, and ever said that. No.
And this was and what you're talking about is the reporter.
Especially at a time like this. I would not have been no silly, dumb white woman on TV talking about the N-word. Yeah. No, and, wrong answer.
What Mary is talking about is that a woman in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was reading a story about the shootings that took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the younger of the shooters had posted on his Facebook page. He had used the word nigger, and she read exactly what it is that he wrote, and it wasn't bleeped out. So people were trying to figure out why would CNN allow this woman to say that on their airwaves. And not, if not bleep it out, say the N-word as opposed to nigger.
Especially when you in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if you've ever been to Oklahoma, there's
nothing. I say use it till the cows come home.
There is nothing but tumbleweeds going across their highways. It is just like you see in the movies if you ain't never been there.
That's not the case in Oklahoma. Not in all of Oklahoma. Oklahoma City's not like that.
No. Right, they use that word till the cows come home.
For reversal, in-home reversal vasectomies, and every third billboard that you pass by on the road, on the highways going through Oklahoma, are reversal vasectomy, in-home reversal vasectomies, triple X-rated movie shops, and three crosses.
How are you going to broad stroke the whole damn state?
Because that's the way, I mean, I've driven through it.
Where were you
and
headed?
It was scary.
Where were you headed?
That's neither here nor there. This is not a place for me. And when especially when you're in these little, like these little towns, these people have no lives. They have no social life. Like, okay, here, you know, in the D.C. area, Northern Virginia, things like that, we have social lives. We want to go do things. We have, you know, we get together. We go to happy hour. We do this. We do that.
It's not much of a metropolis there.
No. And these people, when you start spewing this racism or these stupid words that people want to use in that context, when you start spewing that, people are sitting at home and they have nothing else to do. This is something for them to get involved in. This is their chance to take a stand. And they're going to fight back. I mean, come on. Get over yourself.
Well, it's like Halloween out there. They all sit around and pumpkin.
Oh, that's, you know.
I wouldn't have done it.
Anyway.
Well, listen. Yeah. With regards to the N-word, I say use it every other word. Use it on radio. Use it on TV. Use it in the daycare centers. Third grade. I think the more that it's said, the less power that you give it.
Math talking about how many beatings. What's his name?
Frederick Douglass.
I mean, they talk about how many beatings. Let's teach the third graders math. How many beatings did Frederick Douglass have to take today?
How many beatings that up did he never get?
How many oranges did the outside people have to pick today? And if they picked 25 and five of them were rotten, how many good ones do they have left? And how many beatings are they going to have to get for picking five rotten ones and coming back
right.
with only 20?
All right.
I mean, it's just stupid.
Listen, I think the more that the word is said, I think the less power you're going to give to it.
But you know what? Well, JC, I don't necessarily agree with that because that the N-word is used so often within the black community. The N-word is used so often that, you know, it's only something that black people can use to a lot of other black people. That's only something that black people can use.
Well, I mean, we're talking two different words, though.
We're
talking two different words, and that's what we've used over time, that we're using two different words when essentially it's the same thing.
No,
but
JC, real
you
got to
remember, the old racism is dying out in this country.
What?
It's dying out. The racism from the 60s and segregation.
Racism,
all those that have held that kind of racism are now dead and gone.
This is my question to the new Black Panther Party and for anybody else that is out there fighting for racial equality. Where the hell were you all in the schools of Georgia? Because I just made a good point myself and didn't even realize it until after the fact. Where the hell were you protesting when they were teaching these innocent third graders
mm-hmm.
about how many beatings Frederick Douglass got or how many oranges the slaves were picking off the damn trees? Where were you at protesting that? My brother, where were you? Everybody should have been out protesting to that. I was protesting to it right here on the radio show.
You were.
We all were. Because
you were funny, though.
No, hold on. I got to stop you. Y'all were protesting. I was laughing.
I thought it was hilarious.
I was laughing.
It's sad. You don't teach people that.
I thought it was hilarious.
But seriously, where it's like, you know, when it's good for you, you use it, and everybody does it. The media is guilty for it. The new Black Panther Party is guilty for it. The neo-Nazis.
Oh, it's agenda driven.
Everybody is guilty for it.
It's
personal
agenda driven.
Exactly, it's a marketing tool to get your
name
out
there. What keeps your name out there?
Your purpose out there.
Mm-hmm.
When the agenda should have been trying to be proactive and not reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Because
why not get your names in a paper for holding a fund drive to put computers in elementary schools in the hood?
This is true.
Get your name in the paper for that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That doesn't make enough noise, Jason.
No, the press doesn't like that story. They like that. They like racist.
But you say the press doesn't like that, Reese. We just sat here. You just sat here and said you want these jokers to go out here in Florida and start killing each other so they can show the real animals and blah, 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 blah.
I want to see that.
Because it's a good story.
No, the thing is, it's
a good story for you.
Why
you
is it a good story for me, though?
Because everybody will be talking about it.
Who the hell gets mad at someone else and then burns down their own house?
That's what I'm saying. I would be pointing out, and look, if you haven't heard it, I say it over and over again, okay?
But you're wishing innocent
Of course
people,
I am.
You're wishing innocent people harm just to
I'm not wishing, no. I'm not wishing for innocent people to be harmed. They are wishing for innocent people to be harmed. If they want, I want them to go out there and go see whether, I want to see whether or not they're standing by what it is that they claim to be screaming out there. I want to see if they stand by it. I want to see if they cross Rodeo Drive in L.A. I want to see it. I want to see whether or not they are really about taking care of this in the living. They're talking about a revolution, which they claim they want. Let's see what kind of revolution they're talking about. I think they're a bunch of cowards.
You know what they're going to do? Miss Emma, who's lived in a hood all her life, finally gets up enough money to open up her own little soul food shop. The minute this goes down, they're going to burn it down.
Exactly.
You know what? It's funny. It's really not funny, but it's ironic that Sean Qualley and the rest of the New Black Panther Party. I don't know who it was that I heard from the New Black Panther Party saying something about, you know, today's mathematics and so on, and you know, white people. Well, it was Sean Qualley that called, you know, white people the devil, the blonde hair, blue eyes, sometimes brown head. It's so funny because growing up on Parsons and Hillside in Jamaica, Queens, we used to have, you know, it was myself, my sister, and my mother. And my mother worked as a bartender, and she was out most of the time, you know, working or hanging out with her friends, having a good time. So most of the time, it was my sister and I left at home alone to fend for ourselves, which is fine, you know, made us independent young ladies. But I used to have, you know, 5%ers were really big back in that at that particular time in the mid to later 80s and then the early 90s. And it was so funny because we used to get a lot of 5%ers in the neighborhood that would, I mean, we grew up there. We knew everybody. Everybody knew us.
Okay.
All these 5%ers would come over and hang out on our steps. And, you know, everybody would bring something, you know, somebody bring the radio, somebody else would bring the tapes, some, you know, whatever. We'd eat ice cream, and they would sit around and talk about, I know you're sitting here dying.
I'm just wondering you get to know. Yes.
Well, I don't talk like you talk, so relax.
Why are you getting so angry with me?
I'm not getting angry with you.
Just get to the point.
Relax.
Okay, go on.
I'm getting to the point.
Yes, thank you.
And these 5%ers used to sit around and break bread with us. They would come in our house or in our apartment. You know, we would go over there and hang out with them in front of their apartment building, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, since the mid-80s, I remember them saying, you know, well, the white man is the devil, this is that. How can you say that when you're sitting here right in my damn face? And you asking me, let's go play handball. Let's play kick the can. Let's do whatever. Let's hang out. Let's eat ice cream.
So they were fraudulent.
Well, they were fraudulent because they were hanging out with me. You want to come over here and spew your mathematics for the day? Okay, that's fine, whatever. But I'm supposedly the devil. Why are you still sitting here with me? It just didn't even make any sense. That's why I just learned to kind of. Growing up, I was just like, whatever.
So
you know?
Are you?
And
just,
it's so funny that now in 2012, because I haven't heard anything about 5%ers in years. Now in 2012, we're going to start talking this 5%ers, the white man is the devil. What's today's mathematics? What are you talking about? Come on. It's stupid.
Okay.
Why are all white people the devil?
Because of your
today's mathematics, you plus a job, you plus an application means tomorrow a job.
today's mathematics was equivalent to I had to get up this morning and go to work. just like every other average joker in this country, so I could pay my bills on the first of the month.
Well, Barbara Zitter believes that you only got that job because you're white, you're special, you're privileged.
That's right.
But you know what? I'm white. But I don't come from, I'm white, but to rich white people, I'm not.
But it doesn't matter to white people, to black, to 5%, you're inherently, you have inherited an advantage because of your white privileged skin.
Well, I wish that them 5%ers would come and show me what my privilege is, because I ain't found it yet.
You're white. It's automatic.
Well, I ain't found no privilege of being white.
Driving unregistered car through D.C.
I'm not black, but I sure ain't found no damn advantage to being white.
Driving unregistered car through D.C.
Huh?
Driving unregistered car through D.C. Car through D.C. All right, let's move on from all this black-white hate. How you going to put me on blast that I want to see? I know I want to see mayhem. I already said that. Anyway, Rick.
Because it's sad that you would want to see mayhem.
Whatever.
It's sad that anybody would want to see mayhem.
Whatever. I'm telling
you,
it's not going to happen.
I don't want to see anybody.
It's never going to happen.
Over stupidness.
It's never going to
happen. And let me say this: God sure did not spew any of this in the Bible. So for anybody that believes,
well, that all depends, because the Old Testament God was a vengeful God, and the New Testament God was a forgiving God.
Yeah, and then there's how many African Americans in the country? 39 million?
39, 40 million.
And how many non-African Americans?
Well, whites are 211, 215.
Mary?
Yeah.
You have no problem.
You're saying it's your privilege.
No, but you know what
I'm
saying? It isn't just about
me.
Stop it.
I thought we were going to move on.
Mary, just stand on the right side of the street when it goes down.
No, JC, it's not. You know what, JC? Let me tell you something right now. Black, white, blue, green, whatever.
It's Reese on the radio, by the way. No, I'm just saying.
Really?
I'm stamping
really?
The show.
Oh, okay. I would lose my life to save someone else's life, whether they were black, white, Latino,
okay.
Whatever. I would.
Mary,
love you for that. I love her for that.
Mary, I get it. I understand you're a bleeding heart. I get it. Okay, but that's not the way the world works.
Well, that's okay, because I'm okay with the way that
I am. And I'm fine. Look, and I look.
I can't control the rest of the world.
I celebrate your right and belief, your right and your beliefs to feel that way. But it ain't realistic.
In my world, it is.
Okay, then that's fine.
And it always will be.
All right.
Her lover.
It's Reese on the
radio. I love her.
Rick Santorum.
I love her.
Rick Santorum quit today.
Well, this
punk
presidential race for us is over for me, and we will suspend our campaign effective today. We are not done fighting.
Yeah, Rick Santorum said that he suspended his campaign. I believe it had everything to do with his daughter, who had just gotten out of the hospital over the weekend. His daughter has a rare disorder. I believe she's a special needs child. She's only 3 years
old.
But, you know, I believe that a rigorous campaign like this, there was no way his family was going to be able to take care of a special needs child and be able to crisscross across the country and still maintain this campaign to win the presidency.
Well, he was losing.
Well, I heard he was going to take quite a beating in his home state of Pennsylvania.
We all know
that's
that,
an ass whooping he didn't want.
We all know that Romney's going to be the GOP candidate, and especially now that Santorum is out. I mean, I don't know why they're even going to keep on going with this. They might as well just let him and Obama go ahead and.
Nope. I want Newt to take it all the way to Tampa.
Newt ain't going nowhere. Come on now. He's been 11% in the polls in every single poll that there's been.
I agree. I agree there, too.
I think, if Romney gets in there, and what is known about the Mormon doctrine? That's another way to fuel the impending race uprising.
Yeah, there will be some. Yeah, there's going to be some religious sort of attacks on Mitt Romney.
Not even so much religion. I mean, the doctrine. It is what it is.
Yeah, but you've already seen MSNBC go after him about his Mormon faith, so you know that they're going to do it. I mean, they don't have a choice. The part that's about this whole race, and I don't know whether or not you guys heard of this, but it seems like Hollywood is now getting involved in the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Oh, I love it.
Now, here's the part that makes me laugh. Okay, the three people they have doing the first ad, I think I only care about one of the people, and that's Olivia Wilde, and that was the girl who's on that TV show House. She plays
Zoe.
Yeah, Omar Epps' girlfriend on the show House on Fox.
Zoe became Omar Epps' girlfriend?
Yeah, the one with the light eyes, very skinny, always wears a hair and a ponytail on
he
House.
Became his girlfriend?
On the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were dating for a while.
I stopped watching House a long time ago, but...
Yeah, but they were dating. Also is one of these nobodies who's on that TV show Gossip Girl, and I think he was in that movie Tucker Something Must Die, Ashanti's movie. I forget who... Anyway, but the last... Ashanti had a movie called Tucker Something Must Die. She's been in a couple of films.
Really?
Yeah.
I like her, but I don't know if she can act.
But the last person who's in it, I keep saying to myself, how is this person a celebrity? And it's the Jimi Hendrix wannabe's daughter. Come on, guys. You know who that is.
Nope.
Who's the only person who's a Jimi Hendrix wannabe?
Helen Willis's son.
Now, that's right. Lenny Kravitz. His daughter's, what's her name? Zoe?
Zoe,
I think her name is Zoe. But this is the commercial, Zoe. This is the commercial that they cut.
Corporations defined as people.
Money defined as free speech.
Politicians for sale to the highest bidder. 1% of our country holds almost half of our entire wealth.
You ever think the system is broken and you have to do something?
Well, here's what you can do.
Here's what all of us can do together to change the rules of the game.
Join the 99% spread. From April 9th through the 15th, over 1,000 grassroots organizations will come together to train over 100,000 people in nonviolent direct action.
To stand with the 99%.
By hitting the streets.
By being fearless.
Passionate and impossible to ignore.
60 years ago, civil rights leaders and ordinary Americans understood the power of disruption.
When they stood their ground at lunch counters and marched in protest,
they were using nonviolent direct action.
They understood, as we do now, that peaceful resistance is one of the most powerful levers of democracy.
We saw it last year in Wisconsin.
With the Keystone Tar Sands protest.
And we saw it in full bloom with the Occupy movement. Change won't come from a boardroom. Or from Washington, D.C.
Change happens because people put their beliefs
and their bodies on the line.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you in? Go to the99spring.com.
Sign up. Learn how to do nonviolent direct action.
And let's all make this a spring to remember.
And so that's the commercial. Now, here's what I find incredibly odd.
That they're part of the 1% and they're... I mean, hello?
I guess I don't have to write it. They're a part of the 1%, but they're screaming how they're fighting for the 99. They're a bunch of freaking actors. And not, I don't know what Zoe Kravitz does or even why she's a part of this, but she's, her father's a freaking multimillionaire. And you know, Olivia Wilde, you're doing movies. You had a great summer blockbuster last year with Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman and Paige Badgley. That's the guy's name from Gossip Girl. These people.
So they're asking people to join and fight against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello.
Exactly. They're talking about an Occupy movement against the people they work for and make money off of.
Like, they not against themselves.
Against themselves. This is how stupid Hollywood is. This is how dumb they are.
This is what people should be... that's another thing that people should be protesting, is the way Hollywood people, because of the amount of the... or anybody that has a bunch of money and can pay for the cream of the crop lawyers, and that can pay for, you know, that can pay judges off and can pay juries off or whatever, how these people are getting away, how people in this country with money, the one percenters, are getting away with murder all the time because of their financial situation. Like I said, the same thing I told Mr. Kweli last night. This all of this unrest in this country boils down to financial status.
Well, where the hell does Lisa Bonet's daughter get financial status?
Well, her father's rich, so she's got financial status.
Her father made plenty of money. Years now.
Her father made money off the corporate establishment.
Yeah, but just because she's not in the limelight of the media, just because people are not in the limelight of the media doesn't mean they don't have money, JC. She could have taken some of that money that she made when she was in the forefront of the when she was on TV. She could have taken that money and
invested. She was never on TV.
Lisa Bonet?
No, you're talking about Lisa. That's Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz's daughter, Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz have a daughter together?
Yeah, that's Zoe Kravitz.
Oh,
yeah, Zoe Kravitz.
Where the hell am I been?
She looks like Lisa.
Yeah, she does. She looks very much like.
I know where I've been. Going to work every day. I don't have time to listen to this crap. Nor do I care because ain't none of these jokes paying my life. They ain't putting no food on my table, no clothes on my back.
I know. It's disgusting that they. I can't believe that they actually put this out, but they did. Which. You know, JC,
about an oxymoron.
I know. JC, you remember when I used to do this back in my WRKO days?
Yeah. No. We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe. You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? You've been hanging out with this dude too long.
We're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
I'm not falling for it.
You've been hanging out with this dude for too long.
Yeah.
I've got some eyes.
So that's pretty much it. Sadly, you know, there's not much left to say. We'll wait to find out how this goes in the George Zimmerman case.
Zoe Kravitz.
I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? I'm telling you, I'm expecting to see something really, really happen within the next 24 hours that is going to be...
That could change the way this world is forever.
I don't know. I don't believe so. I don't believe it.
I want Zoe Kravitz in Playboy.
We heard you.
Let her occupy Playboy.
Is she fine or something, Jason?
No, I'll let you see her picture. I don't know what I can call her.
Looks like her mama.
Yeah, she does. She looks like her mother. She does. She looks like her mother. I guess that's the best way to put it.
She looks nothing like her grandma.
Who's her grandmother? Oh, Roxy
Roker.
Yeah, she doesn't look like Roxy Roker at all.
Are they related to Al Roker?
No.
No, Helen Willis from Good Times. I mean, from the Jeffersons.
The Jeffersons. Helen Willis from the Jeffersons.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Helen Willis, who is, of course, married to Tom Willis.
Helen Willis. Oh, yeah, was the...
The black and white couple.
No.
That's Roxy Roker is Helen Willis. That's Lenny Kravitz's mom.
Oh, I had no idea.
Really?
No. Huh. Some of us got to go to work every day.
That's just pop culture stuff.
Well,
that's old news.
Well, I'm too busy trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
Yeah, well, if it all goes down,
I'm a pop
folks,
culture king.
Yes, so am I. If it all goes down, I'll be playing this on the opening of the show.
Listen, remember, I kicked your ass in pop culture trivia, remember?
And that's all I'm waiting for. Will it all go down to Tampa, Florida this coming day? We'll find out. There'll be people running through the streets. I just want this playing in the background when the video's rolling with all the people screaming with the torches. I want to hear all the torches.
Hey, do you remember that, though?
Screaming and violence.
Hey. Hey, Reese?
Yeah.
Remember I stuffed you full of lasagna and kicked your ass on pop culture trivia?
I don't want to talk about it. All right, you kicked my ass in pop culture. It's going to be a very, very different day tomorrow, guys. We'll find out whether or not I'm right. Is George Zimmerman in danger of harming himself? We'll know tomorrow. It's Reese on the radio.
I don't want her on Playboy. Good night, folks.
Thank you.